Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
The preacher
and the pastor.
Today we have an interesting topic for you today.
Oh yeah, the power of words.
My God, people don't understand how powerful words are and what they do.
Words are very powerful. Words are everything.
Everything. As we know, God spoke this world into existence.
This whole world.
This whole world.
The whole universe.
This
everything
whole universe.
About everything about life is held together by words.
Words.
My words.
Words. Again, we're talking about the power of words on today. If you're just tuning in to the preacher and the pastor, our topic today is the power of words, and we have a special guest on today, Pastor Michael Powell. So we're definitely excited about having Pastor Powell on the show today. We always are excited about men and women of God and what God is doing in us and for us, and especially in these trying times, God has set us apart for such a time as this. We were thankful in yesterday that we had the opportunity to interview Overseer Michael Gwynn, and we definitely enjoyed him. It just set the pace of the show, and so we're just grateful to have this platform to speak what God is saying and what is going on and how we can help and encourage. So this show will bring a true understanding on how powerful words are and how we plant seeds by the words that come out of our mouth. Now, we will also, here on the show, we will break down how words create images in our mind that can help us or hurt us. As we know, the Bible records that God spoke the whole world into existence before he made man. So we hope that this show will help to bring awareness of what we speak into our own lives and others. We also need to understand and know how the power of words can deliver, set free, heal, destroy, bless, and bless us all. So we just need to understand that. Me and my husband talk about the power of words and what we say, even jokingly, we have to be careful. So again, if you're just now tuning in to the pastor, the preacher and the pastor today, we're talking about the power of words. And I just want to say this to you, my love. I love you. God bless you.
Well, I love you too, honey. So look, since we are talking about the power of words, you know what? There's a lot of times, you know, where words can just, all they can just get into your mind. I mean, you can say something or somebody can say something to you, and it can cause the rest of your whole day. Like, I mean, when I say cause the rest of your whole day, it can cause the direction of the rest of your whole day just by what somebody said to you. Can you think about a time that somebody has said something and it just messed your whole day up, or even it may just bless your whole day?
Yes, I'm about to say, all the years I've lived, people have tried to speak things into my life, and a lot of times those things that I didn't receive, I'll say in a minute, I'll send that back. I have to send that back to the sender. I rebuke that. And one thing I've learned to do is that I don't have to receive everything that somebody's speaking into my life. So I've had times where somebody tried to speak something into my life. They were just speaking the time I've gained weight, and somebody said, oh, you gained weight, what happened? And that really bothered me. You know, but it encouraged me at the same time to go and get in shape. So, yes, and I've had somebody speak something positive in my life, telling me, oh, God has blessed you, and I can see the glory of God upon you, and that really, really meant something to me. So definitely, and you know what? It's not just that spoken word, but written word. When somebody sends you a text message, and those are words written, whether they're words spoken, we have to watch what we read, because those words can influence us too. Anything that we read becomes part of us. Now it's in our mind, it's in our thoughts. So now we're meditating on that thing that we're reading. So now that's taking an effect, that's influencing our choices and you know, how we operate in our lives. So we have to be careful whether it's written words or whether it's spoken words. So I'm very careful about what I read and what I listen to because of the power of words.
I have to look at when I'm away from home and I'm going to work in the morning. You know, I work with some construction workers, and let me tell you, there are a lot of words that's being spoken out there on the construction site. I'm talking about words that I don't even understand, you know, because it's all different type of English, not English, all different type of languages. But you know, some of the words that they're saying, you just automatically know, no, I don't know. I understand what you said, but I know you didn't say something right. Just a matter of how to say it. So, yeah, I mean, it just
you
calls
can feel
like
it.
Feeling. Oh, it definitely causes a feeling. You know, when you're in the workplace, you know, people, even yourself, you have to be careful of what you say, and especially be careful of what you say, who heard you say it. Because that can cause you, and that can cause a lot of trouble. That can cause a lot of trouble. Even when you say things, and you could just be joking around, you know, in the workplace, you know, they have that thing called harassment or discrimination or sexual harassment because you said the wrong thing. You could have just been joking, because you really can't offend somebody by what you say. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. And, you know, and for me, it's about who is saying it. Who is it coming from that has the most impact in my life? So if you say something, it's going to have a huge impact versus somebody I don't know that said something. So if my husband said something, they could say the same thing, it won't have the same effect. So we definitely have to be careful with husband and wife and even with our children, how that affects us. And people tell you, now somebody else said it, you know, it wouldn't matter. But the fact that you said it and it came from you, it has affected me in a certain type of way. You know, it's one for somebody to tell me they love me, but when the person I love tell me they love me, it has a different effect, you know. And so we have to be careful. The Bible declares in Proverbs 15:4 that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So we know that if there's perverseness in it, it can break a person's spirit. It can bring them down and lead them to depression and lead them to even hurting themselves. So we have to be very, very careful. And, you know, and I just have to say that in Proverbs 16:24, the Bible says that pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and help to the bones. And you know that it's something that I can say to you, that you just eat it up. And there's certain things I say to you, and you would literally take me, push me away, or you say, come on, you went too far. So, and
wait,
I do that a lot, and I get
wait,
in trouble a lot.
Wait
at home,
we
y'all, he
tell
gets
it,
me.
Don't tell the whole thing.
I get in trouble
but
a lot.
Right about this.
You're right about that. You know, it just depends on who said, like, I could say something to you and it'll affect you a certain type of way, and then someone else can say something, to say the exact same thing that I said, and it may don't even affect you at all. It just all depends on who you trust and who you are getting your information from.
That's
all
true. That's
that
true.
Means a whole
somebody,
lot. That means a
that
whole
means
lot.
A whole
your
lot.
Whole life. About your whole life.
About your whole life is spoken, you know, and it's very important. If you're tuning in right now to the preacher, we're talking about the power of words, and understand sometimes we can speak death on ourselves, premature death. We can speak illnesses on ourselves, and people don't understand that. They're like, well, I'm not this, and I can't do that. Those spoken words, you're planting seeds. Words are seeds that you plant, and guess what? Those words are going to manifest. They're going to grow into something. So we have to watch what we're planting, what we're saying about our own selves. Because we can, some people talk themselves into something and then talk themselves out of the same thing they just talked themselves into.
Wait a minute, preacher. Put a period right there. You mean to
I
tell
sure
me?
I sure will.
You mean to tell me you can speak death on yourself or you can speak death on
oh,
someone
yeah.
else?
That's true.
I mean, I can say it out of my mouth. I can say it out of my mouth to speak harm in somebody's life and they could die.
That's definitely
oh
true. Definitely
yes.
true. The Bible it's says that the life and death lies in the power of the tongue. So what does that
Amen.
Mean? That's power in your words. We have to be careful what we say.
Amen.
We can speak death on someone and not realizing that what we are doing. A lot of people are speaking things prematurely. They're immature with their words. They're loose mouth with their words. And one of your favorite scriptures is, what is it? First Peter, what is your favorite scripture that you give me every day?
First Peter 3.
Come on, give it to
10.
Us.
First Peter 3:10. If you want to experience long life, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. That's first. Then we call that having that spirit of hush your mouth. I don't say what it is, but
hush
having
your
that spirit
mouth,
of hush
that's
your
what
mouth.
I...
Everything is not deserved to come out of your mouth. Everything does not deserve to come out of your mouth. Just because you thought it and just because you're feeling that way at the time, that does not mean it's time for you to say it. Because sometimes you can say
true.
Things and not even knowing that, oh, I didn't even think about that. But it's already out there and it's already causing something to happen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:4 that the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. That says a lot in itself. We have to understand the power of words. You all, if you're just tuning into the preacher and the pastor show, we're talking about the power of words. Now, whether words are written or spoken, they have the power to break and destroy healthy environments as well as relationships. It is vital to always speak your truth, but we must be mindful about what we say and how we say it. Your words can change everything. Everything. It can encourage and uplift. It can hurt. It can harm. It can heal. So we have to be careful about the words that we choose to use and who we're saying them to, because you can really hurt someone with the words that come out of your mouth. And I remember this saying that people would say, can you see the words coming out of my mouth? How do they go with that? Do you read the words that's coming out of my mouth? And literally, that is true. Can you see the words coming out of my mouth? Is that how it goes?
She was going to say that it's something we used to say a long time ago. The sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt. Whoever said that?
Oh, yes,
they need to
take that back.
They need to take that back.
Let's take that back. Mm-mm, words do hurt.
Sticks and stones can definitely break your bones, and words definitely can hurt you. Matter of fact, I believe the words will hurt you more than getting hit with a stone or a stick. You get hit with a stone or a stick, you know, that can be a temporary type of hurt. You know, you will heal
yes.
and you won't feel that pain anymore. But when somebody speaks something that hurts you, I mean, they just keep on hurting you and hurting you, hurting you. You might be hurting for the words for your whole lifetime.
That's true. That's true. If you're just tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about the power words. We have Pastor Powell that will be on. We'll be bringing him on right after our music break. You all stay tuned to the Preacher and the Pastor. We're excited about Pastor Powell being on the show today. You all stay tuned here to the Preacher and the Pastor. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, Lord, we thank you, Father God. Hush, abadi, hush, abadi.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we're talking about the power of words. Oh, my God. You know, that word can just, it can move mountains, and it can do so much when we speak to that thing and with the authority and the power that God has given us. Again, if you're tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we're talking about the power of words, and we are Pastor Michael Power on tonight as our guest, and we're so excited. Welcome, welcome, Pastor Power.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you. You sound like you're in an empty building, but we can hear you.
No, I'm in my makeshift church out here in the garage. I hold the podcast on Thursdays and Sundays for some of the members, so that they can so that we can press on with the church services. Can hear a word from the Lord.
Amen. And, now, Pastor Powell, so, I've been knowing you. I went to school with you, but not knowing you on Yellowstone and Scott for years. I've seen you, passing by in school at Yates. And you went to Cullen School too, right? Did you go to Cullen?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Went to Cullen.
Okay,
went to Wheatby Elementary. Went to Atherton Elementary. But I'm Cullen born, red, and Yates proud.
Yeah, so we grew up in the same neighborhood, and we had an opportunity to run across each other in church. And I was like, I know him. And I was looking at you like, I know him. I know we went to school together. Because you still look the same from when we were in school. And so I was just so happy to see, you know, what God is doing in you and the man of God that you've become, and you allow God to just, you know, take over and lead you. Tell us about your walk and when you were called. Did you know you were called from a young age, and when did you accept your calling?
Well, I was called. I first felt the call, God's call, when I was 16 years old, but I didn't believe then that anyone would listen to a kid, so I pushed it off. And then at the age of 22, while I was in the military, I heard the call again. I was in a store flirting with this young lady, and this gentleman walks in, and he has his shirt on, his tie was pulled halfway down, and I looked at him, and I mockingly said, I bet you any kind of money that man's a preacher. And she looked at me, and then I said, I'll double the bet to say that he's a pastor. And when I said that, the young lady looked at me and said, how do you know my brother? I said, I don't know your brother. And so it was just astonishing to her that I could pick him out as being a preacher and a pastor. And so after we revealed it to him what had happened, he said, you know your own. Are you called a preacher? I said, no, sir. Not me. And he invited me to go to church with him. And the second time I went to church with him, he had preached everything, and we was getting ready to go, and he stands up and he says, I'm sorry, could y'all bear with me for a few more minutes? There's a call in this house, and I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord. And man, that man, he started wailing on that mic, and the Lord is calling you, and you need to answer the call of the Lord. He's going to strike you dead if you don't answer his call. He's made you all of this way. He's kept you. And he went from dry as a bone to sopping wet in about 3 minutes. He was soaking wet. And I sat there and wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And finally, I just picked up my chair and went to the front and said, it got to be me. And when I sat my chair down and I sat down, he grabbed the podium because he was about to pass out. And they had to help him back to a seat. And so, and at 22 years old, I accepted my call to preach. Now here's the thing.
Pastor Powell, we want to hear you. I don't know if it's where you're at. It's kind of you're going in and out. And we definitely want to hear everything you're saying. So
let
I just want to see if you can somehow. Okay. Yeah, because we want to hear what you're saying. We definitely want to get everything. Oh, my God. Just hear what is happening. That is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
moving and working, calling you, arresting you.
Can you hear
Hallelujah.
Me better now?
Okay, right. Yeah, that's better. Thank you so much.
And so at 22, I accepted my calling to preach and to become a preacher. And immediately it started costing me friends. People started looking at me like I was strange. But I was in the military, so I didn't care. And so that very same preacher, about a month and a half later, the Lord, because I had been fasting, praying, seeking the Lord's face about what he wanted me to do. And the Lord said for me to move. I said, but I just started. He said, no, it's time for you to move. And so I went to the pastor. I had preached my first sermon. I went to him, and I told him that the Lord was sending me to another church. And that very same preacher told me that I wasn't called of the Lord, and that nothing I do is going to prosper. I'm in ministry for the money, and that's all, and I'm going to be an embarrassment to the ministry and to God. And, I mean, he really tore me down pretty good. And I walked
with
out.
His words.
And as I walked out of the office, the Lord told me, he said to me, he said, this is how you know you're chosen and not just called.
Because
you will have a problem. The ministers or preachers and pastors that are not fully following my guidance is going to have a problem with you. It's going to have a problem with you. And I tell you, I have come across many, many preachers that have tried to tear me down and have tried to use me and talk about me. And but God has blessed me. God keeps me. I don't have to depend on the congregation for my living. God has given me a blessed living. So they can't say I'm in it for the money, preacher. They can't say I'm in it for the
and
money.
You know, I know you, so I know better. I know better. Yeah. And it's something that you said there because I've had that same experience in ministry, you know, and that's how I knew. I'm like, and the Holy Spirit would tell me, you're right where I want you to be. And he'll start to reveal who they really are. Because it's true. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. And when you're chosen, be ready for that. Be ready. And that's when, you know, if you don't have anything that's not coming up against you, then you gotta check yourself and say, hey, wait a minute, this ride is too smooth. And it's going to come.
But a lot of preachers don't understand. The closer you walk with God, the smaller your circle is. A lot of people don't understand that. I look at Abraham. When God told him to sacrifice his son, he started off with the village. And then it got down to just a few of the guys that was with him going on the journey. And then by the time they went up to go meet the Lord for the sacrifice, it was just Abraham and his son. And after he tied his son to the altar, it was just Abraham believing God for deliverance. And the closer you walk with God, the smaller your circle gets. It's a tough walk. That's why you got to have the right spouse. You got to have the right man or woman of God. God sends you, you got to be willing to wait for God to send you your spouse because nobody will understand you when you're really chosen. The people that are around you won't understand how to deal with you. And it takes you having that better half to help you get through, because oftentimes we have to go through and we have to go through on our own. And but thank God I have a spouse that understands what I go through. She's a minister herself. She has a women's ministry, Wives Connected by Faith, where she mentors women and wives and help them with their relationship situations. So she understands what I've had to go through to get to where I am today. I think the most trying thing I have to deal with now is, you know, I'm known as the barefoot preacher because I preach barefooted.
Barefoot preacher.
And people people think it's a gimmick for me, and it's really not. They don't understand the story behind
why
I do what
I do. Yeah, let's talk about that, because I remember you told me about it, and he is a barefoot preacher. Like, tell everyone here that's listening how that came about, that you are the barefoot preacher, and did you fight that? Because, you know, there's ridicule that comes behind it. Like you said, some people think it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you being the barefoot preacher that you are.
Well, what happened was my mother, when I first started preaching, my preaching style was which she called it a fire and brimstone preaching style, because
mm-hmm.
I was really loud and, you know, very boisterous when I would preach. And my mother said to me, she said, you know, I think I hear the Lord telling you to take your shoes off when you preach. And I said, no,
mm-hmm.
he ain't say that one. He ain't tell me that. and then a couple of years passed by. I met a barefoot preacher, and we started talking. And my stepdad had sung at his church. And so he came to me. He said, you know, I think the Lord is calling you, is telling you to be a barefoot preacher. And he's called me to mentor you to being a barefoot preacher. And I was like, no, that's your thing. That ain't my thing. No. And so my mother-in-law, before she passed away, she said the Lord had called us to go into a 45-day fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed with her, and we went on this 45-day fast. And every weekend I would go to her house, and we would pray and have worship and everything, and we were fasting. And so I got to her house on the last day, and she had covered everything with white sheets, the couch, the walls, the pillowcases was white, all of the pillows was in the middle of the floor. Everything was in white sheets. It almost as if I felt like I was walking into a cloud. And
mm-hmm.
She and I, we started praying like as we usually do. Then she started laying hands on me, and we really started wailing in the spirit. I mean, crying and
mm-hmm.
snotting and carrying on. And she pushed off of me and stood up and pointed her finger at me and said, and the Lord said, take them shoes off when you preach my gospel.
Mm.
Wow. I was like, wow. Now, these three people had never talked about me preaching barefooted to each other. They didn't
mm-hmm.
really know each other.
Right.
And so I said, well, if the Lord, I'm willing to make a fool of myself for the Lord. I'm willing to do it.
Come on now.
And so that next Sunday, the pastor that I was sitting with asked me to preach that very next Sunday. And
mm-hmm.
I took my shoes off, and I told the people, I said, the Lord has commanded me to start taking my shoes off. And so I'm just going to be obedient. Took my shoes off and preached. And the spirit of the Lord was in that place. Oh, my God.
My God.
I'd never preached that hard. And after everything was over, this deacon came up to me. Oh, man. He said, the Lord told me that I wouldn't see him until I met the barefoot preacher. And he blessed
Jesus.
Me. And that Wednesday, I got a call that he had passed on to go be with the Lord.
My God, my
And I've
God.
Been taking my shoes off ever since. And so,
let me, because you know,
I had to get.
Go ahead.
No, I had to get to
go
a
ahead.
Place where I have to tell pastors, look, I preach my shoes off. If you got a problem with that, then I'm telling you now. I got to tell them.
Yes, you tell me, because what happens, you start to preach the gospel on holy grounds, and like he told Moses to take your sandals off because you're on holy ground. So that's
exactly.
the significance of you taking your shoes off, because once you take your shoes off, now you're operating on God's ground, and now God can fully use you. Hallelujah. That
yeah.
was prophecy.
Yeah, yeah.
Glory to
and
God.
I can
Amen.
Just, I could feel the Lord working through me.
Awesome.
And I've gotten to a place now where I don't even use notes. I study the scripture text that the Lord give me, but I can't use notes because God will switch and change that thing up, or he moved the information moves through me so strong and so quickly, the information that he's given me to give to the people, especially mm-hmm. when my shoes are off. Oh my God. It just moves
that's
through.
That's that holy ground.
And so I just, all I can do is just stand there. And it's kind of like that movie Ghost. You know how the ghosts go off inside of the person,
mm-hmm.
and then when they come out, they all weak and tired. And yeah, that's me. It's like the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit preached to the people, and then when the Holy Spirit leave, I'm just exhausted. I'm done.
Jesus,
it take me a little while to pull myself back together. And so, mm-hmm. and it's hard when I have two or three like sermons to preach in a day. Like, you know, when I have different programs that I'm speaking on. So.
Yes, I know how it can be as a pastor. I know I had a great opportunity to come and join you in the nursing homes and preach, and that's why he called me to preach. Whenever he called me, he said, hey, preacher. And I really appreciate that opportunity to be able to come and join you and preach in the nursing homes. How did you come about that, mm-hmm. Being able to go into the nursing homes and preach and sing? Because not only that, you know, he has praise and worship. He has a whole service in the nursing homes. And I know you had several at one time, and I joined you before. So how did you come about that?
Yeah, well, I was sitting with a pastor, and I used to be a very hungry preacher to preach.
Mm-hmm.
But opportunities, I never did get a lot of opportunities. And I would be angry and be like, you know, what good is a knife that's sitting on the mantle? It's sharp, but it's just sitting mm-hmm. on the mantle. It's no good. And so my mama told me, she said, baby, you need to go out you need to get out of the four walls and go out, take the gospel to people. And so I started talking to my then pastor and trying to find an avenue, create an avenue that I can go and release what God has been putting in me, because I'm a study. I study, 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 study. And I need a release, because I get frustrated because there's so much in me and I need to get it out. And so the pastor agreed to allow me to have a nursing home. I went to the nursing home and applied and asked them about, you know, having services there. And so mm-hmm. they thought that I wanted to come in and braid hair or play bingo and all of that stuff. And I was like, no, they need a church service. You know,
yes.
All those churches are going in there, but a lot of them are, you know, playing bingo, and the women come and they do hair and do nails and, you know, they do all that stuff. But the Lord had told me to bring a service, do a scripture, do a prayer, sing a song, and preach the word, have altar call, lay hands, the whole nine.
Yeah.
And so as I prayed on it, and when I started, then I was able to go to other pastors and let them know, hey, this is an avenue for your minister to come exercise his or her gift. And in addition to them being able to exercise their gift, then I would be able to critique them and help them become stronger preachers and studying their word and the deliverance of their word and, you know, and understanding what the word is saying, because we have a lot of preachers. They are preaching, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't study.
That's true.
And my favorite scripture is 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, and workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what I was reading that, and the Lord revealed to me that if the word can be rightly divided, it could also be wrongly divided. And so we get a lot of wrong division of the word that is being taught out there. And so just like I said on my podcast tonight, I said, if you don't like what's going on, be the change that you want to see.
Mm.
Be the change.
Amen.
If you don't like what you see and what you hear, be the change. Quit complaining.
I know
quit sitting on the sideline and be the change. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know my husband has some questions for you. Go ahead, love.
Yes, I do have I have one question for you, and I appreciate you being on the show here tonight.
Yes, sir.
If you can answer this right here question, has God's will been done?
as far as my life is concerned?
Yeah, as far as your life is concerned, I'm sorry I wasn't very precise about that. Has God's will been done in your life or for your life?
I believe that I have submitted and have done what God has commissioned me to do and will continue to do. But if I want to go see God today, I believe that I've done what he has commissioned me to do in the earth.
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
That I would have taught the preachers that needed to be taught. I would have encouraged the people that needed to be encouraged. I would have strengthened the pastors that he sent me to strengthen. I will have raised the children that he's put up under me to raise to this point. And I would have encouraged and strengthened and enriched the life of my wife, whom I'm with. So if the Lord was to call me home today, I believe that I have done the best that I could do with what I had and what he had caused me to do. Because the funny thing is at 14, at the age of 14, I said, I was walking down the street by myself, and I said, Lord, I want to be retired before the age of 50. I want to be retired. I don't want to have to work on a job. And if you call me to preach your gospel, I'll preach it the rest of my life. And that's what I asked him for. And I went into the military, and by the age of 46, I was retired. By the age
Amen.
Of 46, I was retired. And now I'm looking for a building or church for my wife and I to sit and mentor the people of God. I believe, Pastor, that I'm called to pastor pastors.
Amen.
I
yes.
believe that.
An apostle.
Because I have, growing up, I've sat with older people. My good friends were 60 and 70 and 80 years old, people that I hung out with at age 14 and 15. I have a heart for older people and leadership. The only problem I have is I'm used to old school leadership, and I'm trying to convert into a now time leader that understands the way of the world today, because in the Army we have the saying, when we get ready to get out, it's not my daddy's Army anymore, because of the evolution of the military and how the rules and guidelines change. Well, the rules and guidelines of this earth are changing and has changed over the years. And though the message is different, I mean, the message is the same, the method of deliverance and the method is different. And so I can't be as domineering as I was brought up to be. I have to exercise a lot more patience and a lot more understanding, you know, in dealing with the young people that are coming up today. That's why I thank the Lord for my wife, because she has a heart for the youth. And so she's that buffer to help me understand where they're coming from, because I was brought up old school. you know. A child should be in a child's place. You don't speak until you're spoken to, and, you know, that whole thing. But to answer your question, Pastor, if the Lord called me home tonight, I believe that I've done what God has commissioned for me to do on this earth. I believe I've planted the seeds and whatnot that God has commissioned me to plant on this earth.
Amen. I have a question for you, Pastor Powell. Now, the power of words is our topic on tonight. In the segment of this show, we have a segment of Preach Preacher, which we like for you to do. It's a 2 or 3 minute that gives you an opportunity to preach the word that God has given you tonight, that is on your heart tonight to preach. But before we get to that part, I want to ask you about the topic, the power of words. Have you said something that you wish you didn't say and realize the power the effect that it caused, the ripple effect of what you said. If you said something that would encourage, and you see the effect of the words that you have planted, and understanding the power of words.
Well, yes. When I left for the Navy, and I received my calling to preach, when I came home, there were a list of individuals that I had to go and apologize to for the words that I had used, for the things that I had said against them, or how I had put them down when I was in high school. When I came home from the military and had received my calling to preach, you talking about eating crow, I had to eat crow because it was so many people that I had hurt with my mouth, that I had hurt with my words. And so, yes, dear, there are many, many people that I have said some harsh things to, very harsh, that I've had to repent from. The hardest one was my father, and I had to go to my father and repent to my biological father of how I had spoken to him and things that I had said against him to my friends, and how angry I was with him. And I had to eat that crow. It was so hard. And family members, I've had to go to and repent to them and apologize to them and ask them to forgive me because of words that I had said. And I thank God that I had the opportunity, because I had transferred out of the Navy and went into the Army. And when I left for the Army and went to Hawaii, I had gotten things right with my father before I left, and while I was in Hawaii, he passed away.
My God.
And so we have to be willing to eat that crow, because it shows the work that God is doing inside of you.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It shows the work. When you confess to be a Christian, God will give you stuff. You know, you got to deal with the past. It doesn't just go away. You got to deal with it, you know.
Yeah.
And when God tells you to go back and repent and apologize and whatnot, then you know it takes some courage.
It does. And the Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, right? The Bible says there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So we have to understand that our words can heal, that we've spoken and we've cut it up and we've bruised it. We go back and heal when we receive Christ in us. And now we go back and we speak those words and heal. Because with our words, we've damaged some people, and we don't realize how powerful words are. We say it and we walk away and not understanding the effect that it has taken. And some people are still living with those words that people have planted in their lives. They have yet to be able to get over it and heal. If you all are just tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we have Pastor Michael Powell on the line. We're going to go to a music break. Pastor Paul, we'd like you to just hang on with us. We're going to come back to Preacher, and let the Holy Spirit use you. We'll be right back here on the show, Preacher. Pastor, how you doing over there?
I'm doing great. I'm loving the show. I'm glad the way it's flowing out there. Pastor Paul, we're glad to have you on the show tonight. More happy to hear you give the word of God.
Amen. Glory to God. We're going to take a little music break, and we'll be right back with Preacher with Pastor Michael Powell, the, what is he called again, the barefoot preacher.
Barefoot.
Right back on the show. Barefoot preacher. No shoes at all. Hey, that's holy ground. Amen.
Now let's go to James with the weather.
Today's forecast shows that those thunderstorms are finally moving out, and the rest of the week is going to be beautiful.
Darkest.
Just before the sun comes.
But because eventually. But I know. Yeah, and I know. You survived the past. Now tell your future, I'm on the way. Wait for it, yeah.
Welcome back to the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Today we have Pastor Michael Powell on the line with us. As our show topic is the power of words, we are the Gospel Public Ministries. Look for us to come to your community, your town. Pastor Powell, this is the segment of our show where Preacher, we're bringing you on. Preacher.
This is a segment I'm supposed to preach.
Yeah, preach. You have 2-3 minutes to preach, whatever on your heart.
Whatever I like. Well, since the topic is the power of words, I want to look at this right here. It says Psalms 8, the 8th number of Psalms, it says in verse 3, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visited him? And so what I want to tell the people out there is remember who you are. A lot of us tend to forget who we are. But you have to say, God says about you. You have to say to yourself what God says about you. You got to remember that you are a child of the King, that you are kings and queens ordained by the Lord, for he has said it. We are blessed going in. We are blessed going out. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. You have to confess to yourself who you are in the Lord, because God has ordained it. He's the one that raises up and brings down. He's the one that blesses. Yes. Amen. He's the one that chastises. And you have to remember that you are his. And whatever is in God's hand, can no man pluck us under. You got to remember it is not the devil, amen. The devil can do no more harm to you than you allow him. A lot of us try to put on the devil, the devil made me do it. The devil is a lie. Your flesh made you do it. If you remember who you are, you will curtail your decisions and do what God has called and commissioned for you to do. And so God wants us to remember who we are, that he's called us, that he's ordained us, that he's anointed us, because man will always remember you when. He'll remember you when you was in the clubs. He'll remember you when you was down on your luck. He'll remember you when you was drinking and being in drugs. Man will always remember who you are. But God said, if you come unto me honestly and confess your sins, I will throw them, I will forgive you, first of all, and then throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. See, because we are our worst critic. And if you just remember who you are, remember whose you are, remember that God has come down and died on the cross so that we can have a right to the tree of life, so that we can run to him as his children and say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. God, it is me. Give me the strength that I need. God, I need to hear from you. And then he said that you'll hear from heaven. But you must remember who you are. How can you go to a God that you don't know? How can you call on a name that you cannot pronounce? God is telling you, remember who you are. He said, he goes on to say in verse 8 that he's put everything up under our feet, every ox and every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, every sea of the, every fish in the sea, and everything that passes through the passages of the sea. He's put everything up under our feet. Amen. But we must remember who we are and remember that God has called us. God has anointed us. God has set us free. And that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you would have lost your mind by now. But God is in the midst. His hand is on you, protecting you and guiding you. All you have to do is seek his face where he shall be found. And God will reveal himself unto those who diligently seek him. And he'll remind you who you are. So remember who you are, Simba.
You heard it here first on the preacher and the pastor show. We're here with Pastor Powell, the power of words. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Father God, for your obedient servant, Father God. We ask right now, Father God, that you were feeling to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, right now, that you were fresh the anointing on his life right now, Lord, baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, Father God, we ask that you touch every part of his life and command it to prosper in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father God, that you ordered his steps. The Bible declares that a good man's steps are ordered. So, Lord, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you're ordering his steps, Lord God. Lord, we pray for an open heaven over your servant on tonight, Lord. Bless him with a heavenly blessing, Lord God. Bless his house, Lord God. Cleanse out all darkness, Lord God, wherever he goes, Lord God. For you have made him the light of the word that you give, Lord God. So we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for his life, health, and strength. We thank you for the life, health, and strength of his wife, Lord God. We ask that you strengthen a marriage, Lord God, that you make it even stronger, Lord God, because we understand that the enemy is upset, Father God, but we know in you, Lord God, we have all that we need. So we just want to say thank you that it's already done. Lord, give him eyes to see beyond the natural into the supernatural, Lord God. Father God, Lord, anoint his head with your holy oil like you did your servant David. Oh, Father God, let his garments to remain white, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that it's already done. We thank you for the finished work on the cross. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you, over your finances, over your ministry, over your business, over your wife, over your children. All that you have is healed, delivered, set free, blessed, and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you, Father. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we all say amen.
To God be the glory. Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor Powell. We wrap it up this.
Y'all continue to pray for us as we continue to seek God's face in the direction we are getting ready to branch out. We're looking for a building now so that my wife and I can go ahead and be obedient. And we've launched Huddle Ministries for the most part, but now we're looking for a building, something somewhere where we can set down roots for a little while. So keep us in your prayers on that wise.
Definitely. Yeah, we have to have your wife on our show in the future. Yeah, we'll definitely keep in contact with you and definitely see what's going on with you all. You all, if you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we've had Pastor Michael Powell on tonight. All right, Pastor Powell, we'll talk to you real soon again. Thank you. My love, do you have anything you want to say to Pastor Powell?
Keep on doing what you're doing. We thank God for you being on the show tonight, and we thank you for blessing us, you know, with a word from God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, I want to thank
Pastor
you
bless
for your encouragement. All right, y'all be blessed now, and y'all keep pressing forward. Amen.
We will. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank
Jesus
you.
Name. Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. That was Pastor Michael Powell. We definitely thank God for him and his life and his wife as well. All right, Pastor, as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show, this is a segment of the show, Food for Thought, and the closing remarks of the show on tonight.
Okay, food for thought for tonight. I'm going to come from Hebrews 2:1. Now, we just want to stick to the topic of the power of words. Hebrews 2:1 reads, therefore, we are to give a more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we shall let them slip. See, there's a lot of things, you know, that we learn. There's a lot of scriptures and things that we learn. There's a lot of laws and a lot of promises, you know, that we learn when we get into the body of Christ. And see, and there's life that happens. There's a lot of things that are said that can cause you to forget. And I heard Pastor Powell, you know, saying, you know, remember who you are. There's a lot of things that can cause you to forget. And Hebrews 2:1 said we ought to take a more honest heed to remember these things. It's the Holy Spirit that allows you to remember who you are, and the Holy Spirit that allows you to remember what God has promised you, and that's grace. Grace has already been made available for you to be able to use grace each and every day of your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, and we just thank God for the word on tonight, the power of God's word. The Bible says in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we have to be careful the words that we speak, that we write, the seeds that we are planting, but with our mouths. So we have to be careful, because there is power in your words. Understand that there's power. You have the power to speak life or death. Again, if you're tuning in to the pastor, the preacher and the pastor show on tonight, we were discussing the power of words, and we were so grateful and thankful to have Pastor Powell on the show tonight. Tomorrow night, our topic is broken to be fixed. Some of us have to be broken to be fixed. Yes. You know, and I asked God when I came in, break me, Lord. Remold me. Make me better. If you got to break me. Because I want to be right. Sometimes they got to break that bone to line it up so it can heal right, so it can be right in the line. So the show tomorrow night is Broken to be Fixed. Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Again, God bless you. May God be with you and protect you. And know that you're God's hands, because He has the whole world in His hands. Again, thank you all for tuning in. God bless you.
Now let's go to James with the weather.
Today's forecast shows that those thunderstorms are finally moving out, and the rest of the week is going to be beautiful.